Can you hear me now? Was associated with the Verizon wireless TV ads that began around 2002 and ended about 9 years later. The company's casting specification, when they were looking for the face and the voice of their ad, called for an everyman with something quirky or memorable about them. And the fellow that they picked, Paul Marcharelli, played a technician whose job it was to verify the quality of Verizon's network in all sorts of wayward locations. And their goal was basically to get people, when they were watching our ads or watching social media, to pay attention. And then Paul switched providers and he went to Sprint. Maybe some of you can remember the Sprint network. And they thought that a lot of people were going to recognize Paul and see him in the Sprint-colored yellow T-shirt and ask themselves, what happened? The commercial used an everyman, a normal, you know, just like us, not some sports figure or politician or actor, or just a normal, everyday human being to speak to us and about us. And we, just like the spokesman Paul, are everyman with something quirky or memorable about us. Jesus did the same thing. He spoke in parables, stories with a message. And his message can be understood in all kinds of locations. And you see, Jesus had been gathering quite a following for his religious teaching. And that made him unpopular with the religious teachers and also with his family. And for you see, he pressed questions. He pressed issues like, what's appropriate to be done on the Sabbath? The demons seem to know that he is the Son of God, and the scribe thinks he's working for Satan. And Jesus doesn't want either group to say what they think. All he really wants is for people to do the will of God and to reconfigure the family as we know it. Now, just to recap, in the first three chapters of Mark, it feels like we're breathless. They're fast-paced. The gospel accounts opening with astonishing words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as the gun goes off, the narrative is off and running. One moment, John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan. The Spirit descends on Jesus, and a voice from heaven affirms his identity as God's beloved Son. And then the Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. And the story just sprints onward. And this time Jesus is back in Galilee launching his earthly ministry. And he preaches the kingdom of God as being here and now. And he calls his first disciples. And as events continue through Mark, there's so much to take in. There's miraculous healings, there's exorcisms and encounters with polarizing people along the way. Some are receptive to Jesus and others are hostile to him or unsure about him. And then we get to Mark 4, and the pace of play slows down. There's a time to reflect on what's happened so far. Who is this Jesus at the center of all the action? The hubbub of the crowds, the grumbling of the religious leader, and the murmurings of Jesus' family fade away. And instead, the narrative resets to a quiet agricultural context. A world in which Jesus invites us to stop scanning the surface from far away and instead to get up close with him to observe how a seed sprouts and grows. And after the crowd is told to listen up, Jesus relates three parables about seeds of all things. And Mark is good at guiding us, guiding as his readers. He tells us how to read the parables. You're going to be given a secret, and then the purpose will be explained, and then the result. Some may not turn again and be forgiven. And his chosen metaphor for God's reign is a seed. Now, why compare God's reign, God's glorious kingdom, to displaceable seeds that birds consume, the sun scorches, and thorns choke and suppress? Now, this first parable is known as the parable of the sower. It's about a farmer who's not careful about where he sows his seeds. A lot of them end up in places where they can't grow. He describes four landing places for the scattered seeds. Some fell on the footpath and the birds came and ate them. Some fell on shallow ground and sprouted quickly, but because they couldn't take root, they wilted and died quickly. And some fell among the thorns, which grew and choked out the plant. And so no grain was produced. But some fell on good soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as what was planted. And then Jesus says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I wonder what the disciples thought. You mean, Lord, I have to work to understand this? You're not just going to open up my head, pour it in, close it up, and I'm going to be, you know, I actually have to think about this? To actually work through it? To gain understanding? And so the disciples, the 12, with a few others who had gathered around, asked him, Lord, what does this mean? Now, the next part's kind of hard for us to hear. He said, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they won't understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. What is this secret? Why are some able to understand and others not? And who are the outsiders? And then Jesus says to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? This must be important. And then Jesus explains the parables. The seeds that fell on the footpath were the seeds or the words of Jesus that were heard but immediately taken away by Satan. The seeds that fell on the shallow, on the rocky soil were heard with joy, but the roots couldn't take hold, and so they didn't last. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And the seeds that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries about this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. You know, as I read that and read that and read that, I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable because it was getting kind of close to home. Maybe not all the time, but there were moments, there were times when I found myself in one of those situations. And then we come to the seeds that fell on good soil. And they represent those who hear and accept God's word and produce a bountiful harvest. Now, if you stop and think about it, if you've ever done any planting, particularly if you've planted seeds, they're not much to look at, are they? A little tiny, some tinier than others, but tiny things. And they appear to be frail. But given a little water, they have the power to crack open hard ground, displace stones and fill an empty space with lush growth. And though they are tiny, they have the whole genetic package, everything that's needed to produce that plant. The force of life in a single seed is immeasurable, though it's hidden inside that seed. Its growth is painstakingly slow, barely perceptible. How many of you have planted seeds, and every day you're kind of going out there and checking to see whether they're going to break the soil, and they don't, and they don't, and they don't, and then they do, and you see this little tiny thing start to appear. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Its life is irrepressible. And then one day, there it is in all its glory. And this paradoxical nature of the seed is similar to the mystery of God's kingdom. And there's been a whole lot of discussion about this particular parable. For you see, Jesus tells it not only as the sower of the message of the kingdom, but also as the bearer of that message. He is the seed to whom the promise referred, the promise of Abraham, to Abraham. Through Jesus, all the sinners are made righteous by faith and become Abraham's seed, heirs to the blessings of God. Jesus is the seed. God's word is the seed that makes Jesus the one who brings us God's word. And we're the soil. A couple of points about soil. Soil can't change itself. Soil can be changed, but not by itself. We don't know who will be good soil. The promise is that there will be a harvest. In John chapter 1, Jesus is described as the Word. He's a young plant and is like a root growing out of dry ground, with no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Just like Paul in the Can You Hear Me Now commercials. He is an odd, quirky seed that sprang up in Caesar's imperial world. A child born to a young girl out of wedlock. A lowly carpenter's son. A native to an unimpressive hill country. Jesus the seed is paradoxical. He's baffling. So disruptive and inconceivable that many reject the message of his kingdom. And if we're honest, don't we often do so? We like the Jesus who performs miracles and the wonders that we seek. But the Jesus who comes not with a sword but with seeds to sow, not so impressive. We'd rather chase after a Messiah who is God's beloved than follow the Messiah who is stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Especially today, when it's all about winning, how do we understand the Anointed One who dies as seed to give life to many? The parables in Mark 4 do more than point to the truth of God's mystery revealed in the presence of Jesus. They also expose the truth about our readiness to welcome the seed that gives life to the world. Mark shows us repeatedly that Jesus is the Son of God, who reorders our understanding. That Jesus is the Holy Son of God, as well as our place in God's world. Jesus announces the good news of God's faithful reign over a sinful and broken world. He embodies God himself. The seeds of Jesus' messages are sown. Will we? Let them germinate within us even as we disturb the soil of our lives? Will we heed his word? Let it take strong root in us. Let it grow and take over our whole lives. If we do, one day we shall reap with shouts of joy, as was said in Psalm 126. God was good. God is good. And though we may have planted in despair, Jesus reigns on our drought-stricken lives. Our hearts are turned to laughing when we consider the armloads of blessings that we have received. There is shelter in Jesus like the shelter of the shrubs growing from the mustard seed. The good soil, you and I, produces the crops on its own. First a leaf pushes through. Then the heads of the grain are formed, and finally the grain ripens. Let's not hide the light under a bushel, but share it with others. Let us pray. God of the Word, in the parable of the sower, you showed us how your word can take root and grow within us. Nurture the seeds of your word in our hearts and help us to grow in faith and love. Amen.